This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Miguel Rojas!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Smith with a smash. Betts has it. Steps on the bag. The throw to first. Double play!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
To beat the champ, you gotta knock him out!
Coming up on today's show, complete Week 10 Roundup, World Series Recap, Monday Night Preview. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. First 2 hours, just like this one, is brought to you by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio. Also, we're on the Disney Plus and ESPN apps at the same time. We appreciate everybody who calls in at 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. We broke down games 6 and 7 of the World Series. Baseball news as players are beginning to opt out of contracts now that the World Series is over. How many times can Alex Bregman opt out of his Red Sox contract? It seems like he is...
Great question, but that was expected that he was...
I know that, but I mean, it's now official. I think he set the record for actually opting out of the Red Sox contract. Cody Bellinger just opted out of his Yankee contract. Edwin Diaz, trumpet time. He just opted out of his Mets contract.
He ain't going nowhere.
Well, he's not going to go anywhere because Soto's going to give up money to keep him, right?
If necessary.
Okay.
No chance.
All right. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Phone forever. Phone lines are completely lit. There's a parade going on in Los Angeles, California. So
parade in the studio right now.
Apparently, we'll get to that shortly. In hour number three, I think O'Shea Jackson Jr. is coming in here. I'm not paying attention to what's going on.
Please don't.
We have lots more football to talk about here on the program. The Seattle Seahawks have entered the chat for best team in the National Football Conference, if not the National Football League, everybody. They're only one half game behind the now 7-2 Colts, thanks to the Pittsburgh Steelers taking care of the Colts. And then the Seahawks do what they do, which is win on the road. They went into Washington last night on Sunday Night Football. I told y'all that I was concerned about the Commanders. And that they're just not looking like last year. And it has, you know, something to do with the injuries. But it also has to do with just not looking at all. I'll be honest. And we'll talk about the Commanders in a minute. I didn't see the Seahawks starting 6-2. Certainly after they lost week one at home to the 49ers. But what they are is deep and playable. What did you say prior to the show? That they remind you of the Patriots because of why?
Back in the day, Brady would be throwing all these touchdowns to a bunch of guys you never heard of. Like everybody in fantasy last night, and I know this isn't fantasy, but everyone in fantasy is like, they're checking their teams or checking their free agents. Like, who are these guys?
Well,
they look great, man. And the uniforms especially. They looked amazing.
Rich Eisen shows social media's Jay Culp put Chris Brockman's team in our guillotine league right on the chopping block thanks to Torrey Horton's touchdowns last night. I think he knows who Torrey Horton is. And so does Brockman.
Who the hell is Tim Horton?
No, it's Torrey Horton.
So close.
6 touchdowns now this year. That's the most by a Seattle rookie since DK Metcalf in 2019.
Torrey Horton, here's a who.
He did, and a what and a how. One of 4 receivers in the last 5 seasons with 6 or more touchdowns in his first 8 career games. The others are named Jordan Addison, Christian Watson, and Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay.
Oh.
But really, it's the Sam Darnold to Jaxon Smith-Njigba world that we're talking about.
Sure is.
Jaxon Smith-Njigba, JSN. 8 more catches for 129 yards and through 8 games. Gentlemen in the studio and ladies out there listening, we have a possibility on our hands of a 2,000-yard receiving season. Mm-hmm. Jaxon Smith-Njigba has 948 yards for the first 8 games of the season. Jeez. And in terms of his age, 23 years old, he just broke the record for most yards in the first 8 games of a season by anybody less than 25. And that record belonged to Isaac Bruce Went to the Hall of Fame after a 22-year-old. He had 938 receiving yards in the 1995 Rams season. That's how good this kid is. He's like the 7-11, right? I don't know. Well, the 7 is the touchdown, and the 11 is his uniform number. He's always open.
Yeah, Rich, and you're right. He's on a pace right now for 2,014 yards.
Sixth game with 100 or more receiving yards. No player has more than four, and that's tied the single-season franchise record. Steve Largent, four games in a row he's had that mark, and that's the longest active streak in the NFL. And Sam Darnold, man, he's improved upon last year. Improved. And that's a guy who won 14 games last year. I'm not talking win-losses. I'm talking about 21 of 24 for 330 passing yards, four passing touchdowns. He had one interception. But he didn't throw an incompletion in the first half. He was so on fire, he didn't even know he hadn't thrown an incompletion in the first half. This is him after the game talking about exactly that very subject matter.
You know, obviously I can feel the flow of the game and understand that we're doing really good on offense, but no, I didn't know that I was hadn't thrown an incompletion. You know, but it's pretty cool. You know, someone at halftime said to me that I hadn't thrown an incompletion, so I think he's to blame for that, for throwing an incompletion in the second half. Yeah.
17.
Not going to say who it was.
It's just good to see him being the man. Two more things about Sam Darnold here. This is crazy. Oh, man. Fourth game with four more passing touchdowns since 2024. Only Lamar has more with six, but let's go further back. There's only one other player in the history of the Super Bowl era to throw for 325 passing yards or more and four more passing touchdowns with three or fewer incompletions with no sacks taken in a game. I know that's a very small subset, but it just shows you throwing a lot, throwing for scores a lot, not missing, and not taking a sack. The only other one was Johnny Unitas in 1967.
Ooh, wow.
He's the fifth player with four or more passing touchdowns, three or fewer incompletions in a primetime game all time. You want to put it on the subset of doing it on the road. There's only other one person who's done that. And his name is Len Dawson, who's also in the Hall of Fame like Johnny Unitas. Okay. And defensively, they're coming for you. The head coach can dial it up in Mike McDonald. And he is just a road warrior. Along with the rest of this team, they have now won 10 in a row on the road. This is crazy, because normally you're like, don't take on Seattle. Don't let them get home field advantage, because the 12s are so nuts, and crazy things happen in Seattle, and it feels like you're playing on the moon up there. Certainly in a primetime game, crazy things happen. But this is a team that's like, we don't care. 10 in a row. On the road. They win one more on the road. That ties the 2019-2020 Chiefs, who won a Super Bowl in that span. And three more, they try the 2016-2017 Patriots, who won a Super Bowl in that span as well. And Seattle's next road game, however, is just up the road here against the Rams after a home game with Arizona. And this is what's pretty cool. They've got two against the Rams and one against the Niners left, and we all know they lost the first one against the 49ers to start the season. They're in San Francisco to end the season, and the NFC West is just deep and playable. Can Seattle keep doing it? Because, listen, they may have receivers you've never heard of and you were looking for the waiver wire to pick up. They got A.J. Barner, their tight end from Michigan, who ran one in. I guess he's their tush-push guy. Everybody's getting a tush-push guy. It's not the quarterback. It's the tight end.
As long as it's still legal.
And
I actually do have him on my team.
So they're great in every phase right now. And 100% can win the division, and 100% can win the conference. This is so wide open right now, you can't sit here and say they ought to have a chance. You even an overreaction Monday asked if they could be number one overall.
Absolutely.
And at this point, they can. Kudos to them. And in this division, I think we're going to get three. I really think we're going to get three out of this division. And it's separated by a half game. That's it. I mean, the Cardinals need to win tonight to even have a shot in the realm of entering the chat at some point. How's that for keeping things dumb and dumber wide open, having a chance?
So you're saying?
But the next game for the Rams after eviscerating the Saints coming off of a bye week is against San Francisco, which just got another win from Mac Jones. And another game in which Christian McCaffrey is just on point doing his thing. And to me, listen, with all due respect to Dak, and I'm not, what I'm saying next is not disrespectful. This is not one of those. Having your hamstring ripped up like that, that's awful. That must have been a terrible rehab for him. And, you know, those things can, who knows, maybe make you the shadow of less of yourself. And he's just only come back and been amazing. But Christian McCaffrey is the comeback player of the year. Achilles tendonitis in both legs, yeah. And then a knee injury on top of it. And he sets a record with his 16th career game with one on the ground and one in the air. That's all he's doing. He's keeping this team afloat with Mac Jones, who will find Kendrick Bourne here. He finally found Juwan Jennings for a touchdown. At some point, Kittle's going to enter this zone. He has caught one touchdown since coming back from a hamstring injury of his own. They keep losing players on the defensive side of the ball, one after the other, but they keep on keeping on as well. This is, just ask Jim Harbaugh, former Niner head coach. Oh, it's easy to just go into MetLife in a one Eastern game and come out with the win on Jackson Dart. He got it done. Give it up. And then the Rams are just killing it. This is Matthew Stafford's best year as a pro. Did you hear what I just said?
Ooh.
Did you hear what I just said?
Best year as a pro.
Yes, sir. I got the numbers to back it up. Hold on a minute. I just have to find them first. Keep tap dancing while I look through my paper.
Well, I'm saying he said some monster years, including 5,000 yards in 2011.
And that year he won the ring. Okay. That's pretty.
He was comeback player of the year that year.
Yes, his back is better, huh?
That's
how about that, too?
His back is better. Yeah, 41 touchdowns. All right,
I found it. I got it. Let me take it over again, please.
Sorry.
Thank you. I saw 5 touchdown passes from his arm in London. Bye week, comes back, he threw 4. That's the most in a 2-game span in the history of the Rams. That's Kurt Warner we're talking about here. In terms of most passing touchdowns in the first 8 games of a single season in Rams history, the 2020 version of Stafford finished his second in this regard, 2 behind Kurt's 99 season when he won the Super Bowl and the MVP. Stafford didn't win the MVP in 2021, but he won the Super Bowl. He's got 21 now. And this is the guy, again, we didn't know if he was answering the week one bell. When Puka's in, he finds him. When Puka's out, he finds Devontae Adams, who has now 5 touchdown passes in his last 2 games. Running the football, they are so good at it. Balake Kurum. Balake went to war.
Oh.
Balake.
Oh, yeah. And a season-high 171 rush yards for the Rams against the Saints. Williams had 25 carries for 114 rush yards. Those are season highs for him. And he didn't touch the ball in the first drive of the second half. And it's just like, is Blake Corum going to take this over? Yep. And so they're getting 13 carries from Balake and 25 carries from this guy on the screen. And they've got 4 tight ends that need a look alive because Stafford's going to find them. And Puka, hopefully, is going to, apparently he could have played again yesterday, but he didn't come back in.
Yeah, he kind of took a ding to the shoulder on that fourth down.
Well, line. I think it was the his chest. He took it right in the chest. Okay. He fell on the football. Yeah. So NFC West is wide open. Anybody can win it, and anybody can go from there to win the conference, don't you think? Right now? And it's going to be so much fun. Rams at Niners next week. Seahawks at Rams the following week. Ooh. After that.
It's getting good.
Do you want to go to war, Balaki?
Yeah. Good. And, good. You know, and by the way, the Niners, as we all know, have already won in Los Angeles on that Thursday night.
Right.
Where they took a massive lead with Mac Jones and nobody else, apparently. And Kendrick Bourne had 90 million yards receiving. And the Niners won in Seattle as well. The Niners, who are as banged up as anybody, playing with their backup quarterback and Mac Jones, 6-3. They could take control of the division. They could sweep the Rams.
Ooh.
And they already have a win in Seattle in their back pocket. And they got one more against Arizona after next week's home game. They could sweep the division. That's how you win it. Monday Nighter at home against Carolina. Everybody, what? That game doesn't mean anything, does it? Yeah. Carolina now at 5-4. The game that I know every Niner fan has circled, like, watch, we'll lose this one at Cleveland. They always go to Cleveland, and it, it either rains and it or 40-mile-an-hour winds. Weird stuff happens for them there. Mm-hmm. And then a late bye before they're home for Tennessee at Indianapolis on a Monday night. They finish up against Chicago and Seattle. This is fun stuff. Again, anybody can win it out of the Rams, Niners, and Seahawks. And anybody can win the conference from there, too.
If I give you NFC West or the field for the one seed.
Man, how many more trades is Howie Roseman going to make?
Probably at least one. We got about, what, 24 hours
the
until the
field? I took the Lions prior to the season, so I'll take the field.
Yeah, but you're going to get off that pick.
No, I'm not. Why would I get off that pick?
In 3 weeks, you get the mulligan on the Thanksgiving.
So what's more likely? I get off that pick or the field or the NFC West takes the one seed? What's more likely? I get off that pick or the NFC West gets the one seed?
See, now you're gonna stay on the pick just for spite. I'm going to say NFC West.
How dare you use my desire to be right against me?
Well, I know who you are as a person.
Okay. That offends me as a host, not as a human. It's like that Seinfeld line. Does that offend you as a Jewish person? No, that offends me as a comedian.
I said that when Chris got the nod as an actor for the golf tournament.
That's right.
That's when.
That's right.
Ricardo in San Francisco is on the phone line. What's up, Ricardo?
Hey, Rich. Amazing series this year. Mm-hmm. I really haven't been watching it for the last decade or so, but I thought Roberts is a much better manager than I ever thought.
Got to give it up. Got to give it up.
He made the calls. Like, it seemed to work every time he made a call. Defensively, offensively. Blue Jays, on the other hand, I mean, Clement as an example. Like, I don't understand why he swung on that first pitch by Glasnow. Let him work the count.
Exactly.
See how he's doing. See if he's finding the play.
I don't know. How can you argue with Ernie Clement's approach when that approach got him 30 hits in the postseason? And that's not an exaggeration. That's the number. He set the record, and he's the one that damn near won it.
The warning track.
Yeah. But Roberts inserts Páez a batter before. What made him think, you know what, I got to put Páez in there right now? What made him think that?
Is he a better fielder?
With that switch, I was thinking.
Yeah.
Roberts could have taken out Rojas and put in Edmund, who's a really good defensive second baseman, made a lot of good, amazing defensive plays in the series. And he left him in, and he was the guy that, got that grounder and had to throw the play.
Right.
The other thing that's amazing about that game was this could have been a World Series that was decided on a replay.
Can you imagine? That's what we were talking about, too, amazing. Ricardo. Like, what a 21st century moment. After further review, the Blue Jays win the World Series.
Amazing.
Thank you.
I've got a question for you. I was thinking about amazing World Series closeout performances. I'm going to give you four. I'm wondering what you think. Yamamoto, obviously, this past weekend. Madison Bumgarner in 2000.
Don't forget about him.
185 pitches in two different games.
Yep.
2 days of rest.
Yep.
Won it with five innings. Jack Morris in 91, 122 pitch, 10-inning shutout.
That's the one that I would.
Or Josh Beckett. 2003, the closeout against the Yankees.
Well, he can't. Hold on a second. How do you leave out Randy Johnson in 2001?
It was one inning in 12 pitches. It wasn't huge.
Okay.
But I think I'm looking at the days of rest being something amazing. But Bumgarner pitched 185 pitches on basically between 2 days with 2 days of rest. Yamamoto was amazing. I mean, he threw 36 pitches with no rest. But Jack Morris went 10 innings. Nursing a 1-0 lead, which is incredible.
How about this one, Ricardo? Because again, we were talking about it. I was talking about it with Cooper, my 14-year-old. He was unaware of Madison Bumgarner's achievements, and I basically said Bumgarner's a Hall of Famer in part because of what he did in that World Series. And he asked, "Is Yamamoto now a Hall of Famer?" based on what he just did? And I'm like, not yet.
Mad Bum did it three times.
Yeah. No, but not what we just saw, where no. It's just like, you know what? I'm going to throw my arm until there's nothing left. And thanks for the call, Ricardo. I just don't, but it's something I told him, like, that's something that we're off and running for him.
Oh, we're off and running. No doubt. Beckett against those Yankees, though, that gets left out in the all-time great performances.
Well, part of it is because I don't want to talk about it. That's when I stopped following baseball. 844-204-RICH.
One of the many times.
Is the number to dial right here in the program. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Keys to Progress Program. The Progressive Keys to Progress Program is gifting cars to veterans in need. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I suggest a trade deadline candidate and team that I think needs it to stay in first and keep going forward. That's next.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. O'Reilly Auto Parts, and that jingle. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. I've been to O'Reilly Auto Parts over and over again, and I get exactly what I need. The parts and a friendly face. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, they can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. Of course, the importance of being helpful and having a friendly service face look right at you and say, we've got your back, we've got your car ready to go back on the road. It makes all the difference, doesn't it? The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today, or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. This message is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. As the holiday season rolls around, we know that you strive to do everything you can to bring cheer and joy to your loved ones. And as a credit union dedicated to serving all veterans, active duty, and their families, we understand that every little bit counts. That's why, for a limited time, you could earn a $250 cash bonus when you spend $2,500 with Navy Federal's Cash Rewards and Cash Rewards Plus cards in the first 90 days. But the giving doesn't stop there. You could also earn up to 2% unlimited cash back with these cards. So saving up for whatever the season brings just got a little easier. Give joy. Get joy. Join now at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash rewards for details. Cashback terms and conditions apply. Offer ends January 1st, 2026. Back on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance as well, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Trade deadline is tomorrow in the NFL. And there's one team out there that's currently in first place, just had a really nice win this past weekend. I think they should go ahead and make a big move. And that is a team that's not usually known for it. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I understand I'm saying this to you after they just had that big win over the Indianapolis Colts. And Aaron Rodgers is just looking as good physically. I mean, the stuff that he is doing, rolling out, moving around, he just looks younger than his driver's license. Doing stuff that you know, the old, if you will, Rodgers used to do, rather than just an old looking Rodgers. And again, at some point, we're going to find out. We talk about the iceberg all the time here, that there's an iceberg, and then we just see the tip. Mm-hmm. Sitting here on this set or watching at home, there's a big-ass iceberg underneath. But I just want to know why, at some point this offseason, the Pittsburgh Steelers decided just can't have George Pickens around here anymore. And it could be because he does the same thing physically as DK Metcalf, and they wanted a different style of receiver rather than just having two guys who play the same position in similar physical ways and attributes.
No one's really similar to DK physically.
Well, Pickens is pretty close to it.
No,
I mean, maybe not human bat human suit, back to use suit, a Daniel Jeremiah way of doing it. But I don't know, because they could sure use George Pickens right now. DK is getting erased a lot, and Rodgers is doing a lot to get it to a whole bunch of other folks, I understand.
Calvin Austin.
The word on the street is Jalen Waddle could be had. And that's now that Chris Greer has been replaced in the front office, that the Dolphins are putting more players on the table to be had than they were with Chris Greer in charge. Stephen Ross has basically given a green light to the entire roster. Who do you want? Jalen Phillips is now an Eagle. And if this is the case that Jalen Waddle can be had for a package, Ian Rappaport went on NFL Game Day Morning yesterday, mentioned the words of first-round draft choice.
For Waddle?
Yes, sir. Laugh all you want.
Seems high.
Guess what?
This is not how this works, though, right?
I guess so. Yeah. He comes at a premium. I don't know if you're the Steelers, you'd throw a two on there, but isn't that what they coughed up for DK? I
believe so. I mean, we know Howie Roseman's going to get him. So what are we even doing? It's going to happen.
They're not going to get Jalen.
Yeah, second round pick for DK.
Yeah, they don't need him, Rich. But guess what? They'll take him.
Stay by your phone, man. I may need you.
The Steelers have a 12 projected picks in 2026. 12.
Oh, they can get it.
They got a first, a second, a third, two thirds, or three thirds. 2/4, 2/5, 2/6, and a 7th-round draft choice. This was back in May. So they coughed up something for DK Metcalf. What did they cough up for him, if you don't mind?
A second-round pick.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Their own second-round pick would seemingly be in the 50s.
So that's gone. They have a first and 2/3. I don't know. Get creative. You want to toss a first to Miami's way? I mean, you already have their number. You've already done deals like Minka Fitzpatrick. You acquired him and traded him back. I'd have to consider it. I know that sounds crazy. But Rodgers...
You're going to win now, so...
Yes, this is what happens when you hire Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Okay. And certainly if you want him to stick around for another year, which is the word on the street as well, it's what the Jets wanted to do, too. It's like, stay around as long as you want. You show up like the Rodgers of an MVP season, and we'll surround you. And they went ahead and got everybody you wanted to get. And if they can put Jalen Waddle on this field...
Stretching that field
yeah,
out.
Yeah, man, with DK Metcalf, well, that's the good stuff here. If I'm the Steelers, you got to sit here and say, carpe diem. We haven't won a playoff game in 7 years. Everybody around here is sick and tired of just making it.
They're beyond.
And right now, they're 5-3. The Ravens are 2 games back. You want to give the Ravens fits? That's DK. That's Jalen Waddle. And if that's the case, then so be it. Right? Well, we'll see what we got next year's draft. We'll see what's going on. Yeah, we don't want to, like, the draft is in Pittsburgh. We don't want to smoke them if we got them for the first night and a half. But guess what? I don't think fans would care. They would just chill out,
Wait for round
and
two.
And wait for round three, if that's the necessary thing, late on a Friday night, if that means they are hosting the draft as champs.
And getting Rodgers is something that was not a Steeler move, right? So let's keep it up then. Keep doing the go the Costanza route. Do the things that you don't normally do. Why not? Go for it.
Just throwing that out there to everybody.
That's is that Arias Consulting or is that just an aside from Rich?
I don't know. I think so. If we get consensus, because the best thing about us is it's about us.
But it's factual.
You say that all the time at RES Consulting. And I think he once upon a time, that comes from, isn't that Steelers Russ or is that Broncos Russ?
Ooh, that's a good.
I think it might have been Broncos Russ or I don't remember.
I think it was Broncos.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
I think that's Broncos Russ.
Broncos Russ. Speaking of the Denver Broncos. So the Denver Broncos make Russell Wilson the largest dead cap in history, draft Bo Nix. And everybody's thinking, well, that's the end of them. Because they're going to be cap strung. And when you draft somebody in the first round of a contract, I kept pointing out, first round contracts, they go 5 years. But if you're drafting a quarterback, you're going to want to win in the first year there. And this cap hit that they're taking for Russ, like that's going to leave them with an inability to build around Bo Nix and win football games. And I guess... if that's the case, that take basically is the first three quarters. And then there's a fourth quarter. And that's when Bo Nix makes everybody look silly. They did it again yesterday against the Houston Texans. Look at these numbers, Chris. TJ, take a look at them.
14.3
in the first
he's like
three
a
quarters
person.
Yeah. Of this season. And then the fourth quarter, it's like Nix time? Is that what it is? Is it Nix time? Bo time? I mean,
it's Bo knows.
It can't be. Well, it was Tebow time.
Right. I'm trying to think of an N Nix. That'll work for this. An
Bo, N-word. You know,
Bo, okay.
I don't know.
Nuclear Nix.
Now, this is RES Consulting.
I mean, in the Nix of time.
Nuclear
is-
Nix?
Yeah, nuclear Nix in the fourth quarter.
Here comes nuclear Nix. I don't know.
Yeah.
Important moments.
Oh, important boy. Important moments. I just, that's like a headline. That's a back page. That's not like, hey, it's Tebow time. I don't know what the hell's going on, man. I saw it with my own self, Tebow time. I wanted to see it in London. It didn't happen. The fourth quarter was just as bad as the first three. Maybe it was a me thing. It's an MP. But the Broncos have now gone from 1-2 to 7-2. That's 6 wins in a row. We had our friend Derek from Missouri calling saying it feels like 2015. Guess what? That's the last time they won 6 in a row in a season. They went to Super Bowl 50 and beat the Panthers. Yep. Super Bowl 60, by the way, is coming up, and it's in the same building as Super Bowl 50 was. Ooh. Will Lutz made the field goal with time expired, so it was yet another game in which the Broncos didn't lead at all until the very end. They had a few games where they didn't trail and then lost. So I guess only fitting here that the Texans had them dead to rights throughout the day, and then the Broncos took care of business in a game that combined for 16 punts. It was all about the defense, and Bo Nix got it done. 6 plays, 48-yard game-winning drive. He had 37 total yards with his arm and his legs on that drive. And it wasn't pretty, but it doesn't matter. Did you see when Will Lutz went out there, did you see they had a cutaway to Sean Payton? Did you see that?
Mm.
I think his coaching point was kick it straight the F through. Go on out there and
good
basically
advice.
Like,
good advice.
Like, you make it. I think it was something very similar
to
that.
Told him to make it. Like, it's the one thing. Don't miss. All right. Now you're putting this idea in my head.
3-7-2 teams. One of them is a team that beat them because of a leverage penalty at the very end. That's the Colts and the Patriots at 7-2. Good Lord. Patriots are 7-2.
If only someone here predicted that.
Okay. Where's the guy who called in for the win-loss game that had him going 0-17? That person has to be you want in the want-to-get-away commercial. So they're set up. Of course, they haven't played the Chiefs yet, and that's what's sitting out there. That's what's sitting out there. They've already lost to the Chargers as well. So Denver just can play defense, lights out defense, just lights the whole way out defense. They are so terrific on that side of the football. It's not funny. 3-17 on third downs, 0-3 in the red zone. Of course, with the four sacks we're talking about, Texans fans would want me to point out, and I will, that C.J. Stroud got hit as he was sliding. That looked pretty ugly.
Brutal, the way his head hit off the turf. Got to think that's going to extend to this week that we may not see.
He was terrible.
Yeah.
But the Broncos are in the mix. Oh, and as for the Chargers, well, there's a parade going on around here, and we were talking about the Rams. That wasn't pretty either. Joe Alt getting carted off again. I mean, how many injuries is this team going to suffer on that offensive line or throughout?
The rumor is surgery.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's stunk to watch.
But they still got it done after giving one up on special teams and then having a defensive touchdown thrown on him. Justin Herbert, 250 yards, three total touchdowns, one on the ground. That pick six cost him. But not at the end of the day, 27-20 final. Omarion Hampton's going to have to come back at some point, too. Mm-hmm. But this is a team that's banged up and still 6-3. Oh, I'm told we have a Harbaugh Files, which is another one of our favorite segments. Is there a setup to this that I should know about the Harbaugh Files? Oh, let me ask you this question. In terms of Harbaugh Files, I shouldn't have even asked.
No.
How many of these percentages are the greatness of Justin Herbert? Subject matter. No. Almost 100%.
Yeah, 93.
Hit it.
Sometimes people that are standing on third base think they hit a triple, but they didn't.
The Harbaugh Files.
Justin Herbert. By now, there's no other ways, I think, that he could impress, you know. But then every time I think that, then he finds a way to... You know, it's like another rung on the ladder of esteem. He's that guy. He's that competitor. He's that kind of player that it's reserved for the great ones that find a way and they'll do it whatever the situation presents. But I mean, some of those runs. I mean the physical nature of those runs. I mean, looked like Larry Zonka at times. Just what a player. What a player. Superstar.
The Harbaugh Files.
Larry Zonka?
Well, the thing that caught me, ladder of esteem. That sounds like a tour, right?
Right.
Whose tour is it, Ladder of Esteem?
Oh, that's a hardcore 80s metal. It's a Metallica.
A Ladder
like
of Esteem.
Megadeth or something like that.
Okay.
TJ, I think.
The Ladder of Esteem tour?
See, yeah.
Yeah, that you get
Faith No More opened. I saw them in 98.
That's right. Yeah, you get a laminate so you can go backstage on the Ladder of Esteem tour, right?
Yes. Yeah. Hang out with, have a cold drink with James Hetfield.
Another rung on the Ladder of Esteem. That's my deep coach. And our neighbor across the way, getting set for the Steelers on a Week 10 Sunday night. Oh, baby.
That's fun.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. I think Progressive, I shouldn't mess around with a sponsor and promise something. I think Progressive actually... If I'm not mistaken, they insure O'Shea Jackson Jr.'s bandwagon that he jumped to say he's a Dodger fan all of a sudden.
I think that's true.
Yeah. Well, perfect way to bring him onto the program. Coming up next, O'Shea Jackson Jr., fresh off his bandwagon. Let's see if he still has splinters from it when he sits in our chair next.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels, For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Let me tell you about Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life at my own house. Listening on the Sonos soundbar, watching game 6 and 7, I truly felt like I was in Toronto. It was unbelievable. The studio quality sound, it made me feel like I was right in the stadium. The whole family was taking it in. We loved it. And the setup is so easy. You just plug it in, you open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Fills your room with incredible sound, whether you're listening to the hottest shows or watching an epic sporting event like we were over the weekend. Explore the soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. And looking as good as he appears to be back on the Rich Eisen Show prior to recording No Contest Wrestling with an NCW championship belt over his left arm and a Los Angeles Dodgers over the right. O'Shea Jackson Jr., good to see you, sir.
Good
How are you?
I'm sure with those Sonos, you could hear how deadly quiet that crowd got at the end of 6 and 7.
This guy over here.
6-7.
6-7.
Yeah, you know. Hey, you know, come on,
6-7.
Come on, man.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at you doing a 6-7.
Yeah, I mean,
Yamamoto,
the Dodgers did it first.
Yamamoto, what games did he win?
Come on, but the double plays at the end of both of those games, and just hearing how quiet it got.
They ended both games on double plays. When was the last time we saw two game-ending double plays? Mm-hmm. One of them from the outfield. Mm-hmm. We saw two home runs to start game 5 to lead off the game. Speaking of quiet stadiums, honestly, we can go on and on and on about all that. We have a caller that wants to call in and tell us about what went wrong with the Blue Jays, is what I'm told. Borat in Calgary, Canada is joining us right now. Borat, you there?
Yeah, so thank you. My name is Borat. I'd like to make an analysis to baseball, if you like. Not so good as yours. You are number one dog, but I try, if you don't mind.
Okay. All right. As long as you keep it clean, Borat.
I will try. When I come from Kazakhstan, I live in Toronto. They make a baseball very nice. I like the Blue Jays very much. But I must 4 points. Point number one, congratulations to Brooklyn Trolley Dodger. They are full value for the win. But I also have no problem with physical error. More love to the Billy Buckner. Physical error you cannot prevent sometimes. But the falloff of mental retardation is not acceptable. I think he must be Uzbek. We will run him out of this town. He will not show his face here again. Point number two is Little League. Before even maybe 10 years old, he learned this thing. Why he forget them at the moment of judgment? Number three, he is not falafel. Maybe Schneider. Do you have a... Is Schneider hot dog in the United States, or is it only Canadian?
I think it's only Canadian, Borat. Yeah.
We have a brand called Schneider hot dog. We will roast his belly fat crispy, and we will eat our enemy. Bottom line, no primary lead, no secondary lead. Rojas double clutch, feet first slide is no good for victory.
That is Borat in Calgary, everybody.
Wow.
Well, there you go. That one was going to go.
Expecting.
We'd give that one a whirl.
Borat today.
We got the guy in Ohio who does the Morgan Freeman.
That's right. That's right.
By the way, he might be talking
Morgan
about
Freeman.
Kevin Stefanski just announced he's given up his play calling duties.
I know.
To Tommy Reese.
I saw that. Also, Jerry Jones just said on Sirius Radio that the Cowboys have made a trade to immediately address the need, but won't say who they traded for.
Of course not. It's a coming. It's on the way.
Hold on a minute. You're saying He went on the radio to say, we've made a trade.
What are we doing?
But I'm not telling you who it was.
Yes, exactly.
Why? Because it's still in the process of closing?
I guess.
Yeah, but just to tell everybody, hey, it's happening.
We're making moves. Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Last time he told you, TJ, to sleep easy, you lost Micah Parsons to Green Bay. So he just told you, basically, don't worry, I got this thing.
This is like another guy I saw on TV yesterday who made a claim, and the reporter said, well, who was it? And he goes, well, I'm not going to tell you. Tune in to your local news. That's what this sounds like to me.
Jerry Jones said, immediately we will have him on the field, and it will address some of the things that have been our shortcomings.
Okay.
Some of the things. Well, it's a big player.
Better be Jeffrey Simmons coming.
Dude. Jeffrey Simmons
that
coming
would be
to
massive.
Well, that would be.
That's why it ain't going to happen.
Well, they would have taken one of the picks they got from Green Bay and flipped it to Tennessee, like he said, that it would be possible to do. And I was one of the first people to say that usually doesn't happen is a trade deadline. It's your first to flip a first round pick. Mm. I think he's the last one to do it for Amari Cooper, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Mm. We were in the studio
when that happened.
When that happened.
He also said he's working on two other trades ahead of tomorrow's deadline.
Oh, man. Oh, still working.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, the squirrel.
So is he going to acquire a squirrel?
It's possible.
No, but in all seriousness, TJ Jefferson.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you this question. Because by the next time, there's a final minute before you record No Contest Wrestling with O'Shea Jackson Jr. Mm. By the next time we're on the air, we will most likely have found out who he's referring to.
You would assume.
Yeah. If it was a first-round pick they got for Micah and they get Jeffrey Simmons, would you say this is fine, I'm good with everything?
Absolutely. I mean, it doesn't patch up all the holes in that defense.
Turning Micah into Simmons.
Again, and a first-round pick.
And another first-round pick in the following year.
That's not bad.
Maca.
I mean, Jeffrey Simmons isn't exactly a pass rusher.
Yeah.
Dude, Jeffrey Simmons
but
is a game changer from the middle of the defensive line.
He is a obvious
And he's stud. 28. He's 28.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Micah's 26.
And he's already under contract, right? He already just signed a big deal.
Yeah, I just threw somebody out there and tried to make us.
Well, he hasn't played the last 2 weeks.
That's presumably
being held out so he can be traded.
Same thing with Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
You don't need him.
Nah, I think we're good there.
All right.
I mean, look.
Steelers need Calvin Ridley.
Hey,
we need some cornerbacks.
On Tuesday's show, I'm going to take a page from Jerry Jones here to wrap this up. Tuesday's show, we've got a great guest list. Just not going to tell you what it is.
Trust me. And we have two people we're working on, but we're not going to tell you.
Oh, we're working on two people. To address our guest needs.
Check your own local news.
All right.
Check us out Tuesday. It's going to be awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.